Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Well, hello, fans of the Psychic Funhouse, and welcome to another exciting podcast. It's Friday, October 21st. No, 20th. Sorry, jumping ahead a little bit because I'm so excited to be here with y'all. And, yeah, it's time for another edition of your favorite psychic supernatural podcast, the Psychic Funhouse. So, let me introduce my lovely co-host, the one, the only, the man with a plan, wearing a caftan all over this land, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza.
All these sounds are spooky, I'm afraid. Why, hello there, Shamanic Birch.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey. Yeah, not too much. So Michael's here, I'm here, Lawrence Birch, your other co-host. Normally, we are joined by the dynamic trio herself, Miss Adrienne Stratton. However, I'm told she's on assignment in Transylvania right now doing some deep research. So she won't be with us except in spirit tonight. So
yes. I don't think so. I think she's researching some turkey recipes.
Oh, yeah. She's at the Julia Childs Institute.
Yes.
Finishing her master's in fried turkeyism, no doubt.
Yeah, she was getting some gourmet recipes from Count Chocula.
Count Chocula, that's good. Yeah, okay, right.
She's in Transylvania.
Yeah, well, let's see. Maybe we've conjured her up. Let's find out. So.
Is she...
Hello.
Do they have one?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Look who's here.
I am not. I am not at the Julia Child Cooking Institute. No.
Oh.
What?
Did we misinform?
Oh, my goodness.
Where did that misinformation come from?
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
You were getting new turkey recipes.
Yeah, we're ready for a 10-course meal.
You would not want the turkey that I would cook. The only time I ever cooked a turkey, I was very drunk. And it was a mess.
That's why you go and get training, so you can improve your skills.
That's it. Happy Friday.
happy getting closer to Halloween. I have something special in the soundscape prepared for you, Adrienne. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you sitting down?
Yes, I am.
Okay, here it comes.
Oh, no.
What
no.
is that?
It's a raven.
Yes, good. Okay, all right, I got it.
Yeah.
Raven has been talking to me a lot here lately. It's just wonderful, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Needed
Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's long overdue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I have my signature sound. People snoring. And, of course, Michael has his signature sound, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
The cricket. So, yeah. Well,
that's great.
That's good. I'm glad you could join us. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I am at a holiday boutique out here in Lake Forest. And actually set up a table and have been doing some readings. So I know tonight's show is all about, the veil thinning at this time of the year. And I'm not going to be able to stay too long, but I wanted to get on and say hello and happy Friday to everyone and to wish you a great show and say hello to all the callers and listeners.
So we're just getting a homeopathic dose of the infamous Adrian tonight. I understand. Because you're working.
Yeah, I'm working.
Making those Benjamins. Well, good deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, we'll take what we can get. How about that?
All right.
Yeah.
I got a
few
more minutes.
Okay. Well, you let us know, and we'll sashay you away
right.
on the top.
Okay.
So without any other discussion, we do need to bring up the all-important disclaimer clause so our lawyers don't show up and eat our brains as they want to do since we have zombie lawyers. And that is, even though Adrian, Michael, and myself are esteemed professionals in our field, we are not professionals in the fields of mineralogy, oceanography, bacteriology, or even Scientology. So if you're wanting some assistance in any of those categories or in any other category, like legal things, financial things, you should definitely seek those out, and we support you doing that. If you're here, the assumption is you're here for entertainment purposes only, since that's what we are doing on this show. So if you're ready to be entertained, you're in the right place.
Yeah.
So there we have. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So.
Very good.
You must obey me.
Oh, that was one of those
you
lawyers.
You must obey me. You must obey me.
It won't shut up. It's crazy. Wow. Give him a legal degree. He just take off. So yes, so we're in Spooktober, which is our month of talking about transition from summer to fall, and it's also when the veil starts to thin in this part of the world, and spirits become a little bit more communicative, as it were. So we're listening for them a little bit more to see what they have to share with us. So we thought we would talk a little bit about spiritual sounds, things that let you know that spirit's trying to contact you, and also a variety of sounds that spirits might make during this time of year that you might otherwise overlook. So that's going to be our topic of discussion tonight. And then, of course, we'll also be available to take our readers' calls and our listeners' calls and to do some readings and healings, mediumship work, like we always do on the show, that sort of thing. So that's what's planned. So settle in, get your cup of mulled apple cider, one of those Reese's pumpkin peanut butter things, and we'll be here with you for the next hour or so. You're going to leave us soon. Is there anything on this topic that jumps out for you that you'd like to share about?
Yeah. Couple things that came to my mind really quickly. I often, besides, you know, the lights that flash off and on, one of the sounds that I do get from time to time is a telephone ringing. And it always lets me, the spirit always lets me know it's around, someone's around, you know, when I hear a telephone. And of course, there we go. It kind of sounds like that. as a matter of fact. And so I get that, I will actually hear my first name, being called out, and those are a couple things that kind of come to mind as far as sounds are concerned. Yeah, those are probably the most prominent ones for me.
I see. So that's your guide's way of letting you know that they're going to be contacting you. They have some information for you to pay attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How long has that phenomenon been going on for you? Has it been quite a while?
Long time. Long time. I can't even be certain of how many years now, but and the telephone is just, you know, it's almost to the point where it's almost comical, you know, because certainly I can many experiences checking into a hotel room, getting settled in, and the phone rings. And I, it's like, okay, I'll pick it up, and no one there that's identifying themselves anyhow. So I, you know, certainly have had that, but I get the sound of a phone ringing anywhere, anytime, and then of course Raven speaks to me, you know, so I do hear Raven's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't, Mm-hmm.
Well, I know when I hear the phone ring and I pick it up, I usually hear this voice.
Don't be afraid.
That's death when that happens.
I can
chill. Yeah.
Love it.
Interesting. So does Raven, what's Raven's voice like when you hear Raven's voice? Is it like a Raven's voice or?
It's like a Raven's voice. Just that low, cawing sound. That's what I will hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. And sometimes it's just very brief, and sometimes it's two or three times.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And it's usually just very friendly. That usually just means, hey, I'm around, I see you, mm-hmm. you know, type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about you or Michael? Yeah, do you hear any noises from spirit?
I know Michael usually hears the
Yes. In addition to the bird, there are those moments when, like, either right before I go to sleep or right after coming out of sleep, in before I'm either asleep or awake, I hear voices at times. And mm-hmm. I can't make them out. I always ask for them to make themselves known and for their messages to be clear. But it sounds yeah. like there's people in the room talking. Mm-hmm. And so I hear that. And then I hear a spirit talk to me all the time. But it sounds like, you know, my own voice internally.
Mm.
I don't hear external voices from spirit. I do have a ghost story, if you want to hear that.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Sounds good.
long time ago.
You know what? I gotta run.
You gotta run? Okay.
Yep. But have a great
have a
show
one.
And happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Thanks, Adrian.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
See you next week.
All right. Well, I'll hear your story.
Yeah. So a while ago, I worked at a doctor's office. Long time ago, back in the 80s. And it was a small building, two-story, and I think there were maybe, like, and doctors did not see patients in there. It was just more administrative offices. And I think they had enough room for, like, three offices because the offices were pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, our doctor's office, we had a bunch of offices on the bottom floor. I think there were about five or six offices we occupied. So we occupied like the bottom half of the building. And it was an old building, probably built in the 30s, maybe 40s. And underneath that, there was a basement, but you had to walk outside. Go out the side door, go down some stairs, and then go into the basement. And the
basements
ran. Say that again.
Oh, sorry. Basements are always creepy.
Yeah. And the hallway was, it ran all the way from one end of the building to the other, and the hallway was right in the middle of the building. And then it had offices on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It was creepy. And there was a light fixture in down there. But, of course, the light fixture was in the middle of the hallway, and it had a pull chain. So it wasn't connected to a light switch, so you had to walk all the way down this dark hallway and turn on the light.
Perfect.
And it was creepy. So, yeah, exactly. So when I was working there, there were times like I would come in and my lights would be on and my computer would be on, the air conditioning unit would be on, and I always thought it was the cleaning people just forgetting to turn stuff off. And so I was experiencing that. And at times also when I was working, I would see in my peripheral vision somebody walking past my room, going back and forth, up and down the hallway. And and at times then I was like, hey, whatever, I didn't really pay too much attention, or at least I tried not to. And the other times I would hear my name being called, and I just thought it was my boss. So I get up out of my room and go to next door to her room office and say, you know, you called me. And she's like, no, I didn't call you. And I was like, okay. And so Then there were a few times when we'd stay late, and that really frightened me. I didn't know I was a medium. I just thought, okay, I'm making stories up in my head. And then when they'd say, can you go downstairs and get files from, you know, this patient? And I'd just be terrified to go down there because you never felt like you were alone.
Hmm.
And, of course, nobody else wanted to do it either. So they'd always send me. And there was one point. Oh, and before that, people in another doctor's office, I went to talk to them, and I had asked them, because they had been in that building longer than we had, and I asked them if they had been experiencing phenomenon as well. Like, I couldn't explain it, and have you guys been experiencing this? And like, oh, yeah, there's ghosts in here. And they proceeded to tell me it used to be a morgue.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Yay.
That was like, oh, my God, I did not need to hear that. So one day I'm in a meeting with a coworker, and we're in her office, and I'm standing up, she's sitting down, and we're discussing something, and all of a sudden a woman's name called my name, and her voice came from every direction in the room. It wasn't like out in the hallway or standing in front of me, and it echoed several times. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up. My eyes bulged out of my head. I looked at my coworker, and I asked her, did you just hear that? And she said, yes, I did. And I screamed and ran out of the building. And it was scary, and it was always doing stuff. And then after, I really became aware of their presence and, this being a morgue, and they would screw with me even more. And like, you can feel them walk into the room and touch you and calling your name all the time. And it was not pleasant. And, So.
How long did you end up working there?
I was at that job for several years. I don't remember
really?
how long exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe about 3 or 4 years. 5 maybe. Not more than that. Yeah, that was frightening to work at that place.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Who wouldn't want to work in an old morgue? I mean, that's built-in fun right there.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, that's my spooky story and audible voices.
Mhm. Yeah, I'd say that fills the bill pretty well.
Mhm.
Well, we do have some callers, my friend. Are you ready?
Yay!
To take a phone call?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, all right. This one thing for a phone caller is remember when you come on.
You must obey me.
So all we ask is that you behave on the show. So we'll go to this area code 917. Hi, 917. You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Michael Lawrence. What's your name?
Oh,
where are you
hi.
Calling from?
Hi. Hi. Thank you.
Good.
Happy pre-Halloween Spooktober.
Yeah.
I like your guys' sense of humor.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Sorry?
Oh, I was just saying it's an acquired taste.
Oh,
our sense of humor.
Uh-huh. Gotcha, yes.
Not the ordinary.
I've acquired a lot of strange humor with the people I've known, so.
Well, you're definitely one of our, and may I ask who's talking
Karen.
To us? So we know how to address you.
Karen,
Karen?
New York. Mm-hmm.
Karen from New York. All right. Very good. Well, Karen, what can we do for you tonight? Or you have a story to share? Or?
No, not really. I've been told that the person who was the original tenant in this place, who hung herself in the closet where the main phone cord was, and this is way back, you know, when there were landlines and phone cords and everything. And I've been told that she's still around and I can't get her out, but I've done lots of clearings and other people have done clearings, and some psychics have said, no, they don't feel anyone's spirit still in the apartment. And some people have said, yes, she's there and she's stubborn and she doesn't like that you're there. It's her apartment in her mind and she will never leave. And then she does do nasty things to me. So I don't know if that's true. So I was wondering about that, or any, you know, does spirit have any other messages that I need to know now? Whatever you're picking on.
Interesting. Well, let's see what comes.
Thank
you. Do you know for this person by any chance?
I never met her, no.
Mm.
It was the doorman who told. That's a long story. It was my grandmother's apartment, so I took care of her and I inherited it. But my grandmother got it because she had spoken to the doorman and he promised to let her know, you know, anything he heard or became available.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it happened. Yeah.
I see. So it's been your family for a while. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, give us a moment to see if we connect with anything that will be helpful for you.
Thank you.
You bet, Karen.
This is Michael.
Hi.
And hi. Was the woman that lived in the apartment older? I feel an older woman there.
Well, my grandmother.
Do you know?
But the woman who took her own life, no, I don't think she was. Well, this is back in the mid-late 70s.
Okay.
So I don't know how old she would have been at the time, but I don't think she was old.
Okay.
My feeling is 30s, 40s maybe.
Okay.
Not sure.
Yeah.
She had a boyfriend. What I hear about her, she was very overweight and miserable, but she had a boyfriend, and he ultimately didn't treat her right, and then he left her, and she killed herself.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. Okay. What I'm picking up on is an elderly woman that's with you. This is a very loving person towards you, so... This is not the spirit in the home.
Right.
And this lady feels motherly. She has a very motherly energy towards you.
Yes.
Is your mom on the other side?
Yes, both my mom and my grandmother.
Okay. Well, that's interesting you say that, because I also feel grandmother as well.
Yes.
So I know a lot of the time grandparents can take the role of parents in our lives, and so I didn't know if it was that's what it was, but I feel mother and grandmother. So let me see.
Yeah.
So sometimes they kind of line up, and I don't see them.
Well, I lived with my grandmother here for a number of years. I took care of her, and I had made a promise to my mother in the past.
Okay.
At that time, I promised I would take care of my grandmother in her absence and never put her in a nursing home.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I'm saying here, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. You know, but I think this, I'm going to speak for both of them here, and I think they want to offer you or convey to you that they're grateful that you honored your word and that you really took care of your grandmother. But also, too, the way your mom shows me her energy, too, feels like your mother is thanking you for taking care of her as well. Did you take care of her at some point?
As much as I could have.
Yeah, okay. So you did.
With the cancer, and I was there with her in the hospital the whole time, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she wants to thank you for that as well. And they're both appreciative of all of your love and your kindness and the work that you did. And they're saying, you know, they see how hard it was for you. And they're acknowledging that.
Oh, thank you.
That it was tough, right? Not only sometimes physically, but emotionally and mentally.
Yes.
And so they're acknowledging that and how strong you are.
Wow. Thank you.
Is your grandmother small? Was she a smaller person, shorter?
We're all kind of short, but
okay. Was she, but like, I guess short, but also thin?
No, not that petite or thin, no.
So was your mom thin?
My mother's a little bit smaller boned and everything than my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm seeing an image of somebody here. It's one of the two. And she's small, she's thinner, and her hair's done. Like the image she gives me, like the hair was very important, that it looked good.
Hmm. Could have been both of them. Although my mother wasn't always, only when she was doing special stuff.
And I also see a cardigan. She's wearing a cardigan, a little sweater. Do you understand that?
No, not so much.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that's the image I keep seeing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll leave you with that. Thank you, Karen, for allowing me to read for you.
Oh, thank you.
Karen, this is Lawrence again. The only thing I'm picking up on in your space is just a tremendous feeling of grief and sadness. And kind of in an odd way, there's some comfort there, I think, for that person's spirit. You know, that was a space that they were really, really attached to, almost like it was a sanctuary for them in a way. So I think there's a sense that they don't feel like they have a place to go. If they leave there, they're not going to find a place for themselves. So I don't know what attempts have been done to clear the space, but it seems like, letting them know that they can go into the light and that they'll be safe that way would maybe be a more effective process of getting them to go. But they're just really, really melancholy, you know, really, really unhappy, like deeply unhappy. So I'm not surprised that they ended up in their life. It's just grief for them to continue. Mm-hmm.
Are you sensing more than one thing?
More than one? Well, no. I don't sense more than one, no.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So no. It's probably just the woman who took her life, yeah.
That's what I would.
Is this something I could do myself by trying to just speak to her, or should I, is it recommended to, you know, get someone who's more experienced in having spirits go to the light?
Well, what's your current spiritual practice exist of? What's that like? Are you belief systems around that?
I've been working on my spirituality a long time. I do meditations. I listen to and watch a lot of people. Do, you know, videos. I like sound healing and light language.
Do you have any spirit guides or guardian angels or anything like that that you work with? That part of your process? Or?
I reach out. I'm not sure I'm really working with them.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I
know,
can feel like light or warmth around me, but and sometimes I hear things in my head, but I'm not sure if it's really a message or if it's my head. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, that I appreciate your honesty. That's not unusual. You know, just from your little bit of history you gave with this entity, that it seems to be kind of resistant, and the fact that maybe. You know, you don't really have some protection, you know, like guides. That's why I was asking. It would probably be safer for you to have somebody, you know, that you trust to come in and clear the space, you know, give it another try again. Just because, you know, on the off chance that there's something that goes sideways, you're not going to be a target that way. And somebody who's more of a professional, or at least more experienced with this, would be able to protect you and protect the space and themselves in case there's, you know, something like that could happen. That would be my recommendation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not unusual. Yeah, I would just say sometimes it's not unusual for spirits to be resistant to leave. And, it, you know, sometimes it takes a few efforts to really get them to give up their attachment to the location. So.
Uh-huh. So would this be something that, you know, that the person would have to do in person on here, or could it be virtual?
In person is helpful, but it's not always necessary. You know, Michael and I have both done remote clearings, and we've done work with clients, and they haven't been...
Yeah.
You know, fully present. Either way would work, I would think. So.
Oh, okay, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank
so
you,
if
Karen.
I tried. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So say if I tried it myself, commanding the spirit to leave and go to the light, protected, put a. Protective, you know, white light, or asked Archangel Michael to protect me first. You still think that's not, it's not recommended? I mean, would that be still maybe dangerous for me?
Well,
I don't think I'm
learning. Yeah. Well, I don't know about, you know, the level of risk or danger. I mean, I don't get that this is a malevolent spirit. You know, what can happen... when you engage in any kind of spiritual ceremony or ritual, though, Karen, is that it can act as like catnip or an attractant to other spirits. So there may be, you know, other entities in, or just, you know, that are able to pick up on what you're doing. And so it's really, you know, it's really important to establish a protective light around yourself, or a shield, or, you know, however you visualize it. I'm not saying you couldn't do it, but, you know, it's more of a risk if you do it by yourself without, you know, having, I would say, training or experience in it.
But yeah, you definitely, you know, first thing you want to do is establish protection around yourself if you're going to do that. And then, you know, going from there, contacting the spirit and asking them to move into the light, that it's going to be safer for them there. And there's, you know, family members waiting for them to be welcomed, and it's time for them to go. There's a place for them. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you go ahead and try it, or, you know, whatever happens, get back in touch with us and let us know that you're safe and things worked out, or, you know, whatever happened. Okay.
Can I ask you, has she interfered with my life or my health in any way, or something else?
The only thing I get is not that she's, it's more just that, you know, she wants, what's the best way to say it? I think she wants things to be different. So there's part of her consciousness doesn't understand that she's not really alive anymore. So I think that's part of what keeps her attached to the location, is that she still feels like there's suffering and that something more could be done. So I don't get the sense that she's, it's really more about her, I guess, is how I would put it, than you or anybody else, really. So I don't think she has the ability or interest really to interfere or to affect you on, you know, in any way, spiritually, emotionally, or physically. So I don't see that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
At least for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for giving us a call. You're on our Spooktober Spirit Show.
Yeah. Well,
be well.
You. Appreciate it. It's very enlightening. Take care.
Be well.
Stay safe.
Thank
and,
you. You too.
Yep. Get back in touch anytime. Thanks, Karen.
Okay. Will do. Blessings to everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Blessings to you too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. That's rule number one. You can smell your fear. It's all over.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I have a sound story that I can share. And you shared your.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So I was at a lecture. It was about psychology, a certain type of psychology, promoted by a Swiss man named Arnie Mandel. It's called process psychology. In a nutshell, it's Jungian, basically, but it takes things a step further in that when you deal with a patient or client who's having trouble, part of what can assist them in their therapy is to, in a sense, mimic what they're doing, their body language, their actual language, what they're saying. There's a really fascinating book that I used to present part of to my classes that I taught called Coma, where case studies where he was in a hospital and there was a patient that was dying who was having trouble letting go, and he wasn't really able to communicate clearly, but he was still semi-conscious. And so Mandel started to mimic the sounds that he was making. He was moaning and kind of groaning. So Arnie got next to him and moaned and groaned. The idea is you're kind of establishing a resonance, a connection, speaking that person's language. And eventually the man who was ill started vocalizing, and Arnie said, "So what's going on? What do you see?" And the man said, I see a ship." And Arnie was like, "Who's on the ship?" He said, "Oh, spirits are on the ship." And then he's like, "Oh, maybe you should get on the ship." He's like, "Yeah, maybe I should." And so he's like, "I'm going to get on the ship." And so he describes getting on the ship, and then shortly after that, he actually died. So
Anyway, that's not my story. That's not my story. But my story is I was at a lecture about that kind of, it is interesting, about that kind of psychology. And after the lecture, I went to a cafe, and one of the people from the lecture who I had picked up some, I'll just call it negative energy from, was also at the cafe. And it was really odd, but I felt like he was trying to probe my thoughts. Like I could hear him say, give up, you know, give up your secrets. And I was like, well, that's not cool. I looked over and he wasn't looking at me, but he had this really, really odd look on his face. And then and then I heard a different voice say, kind of announce themselves, and they said, Pleiadians, like they're the Pleiadians, you know, from Seven Sisters and all that. And they said, white shields, like to protect myself, you know, by drawing up my shields. And I was kind of taken aback by that as much as what was going on already. And so I didn't really do what they were commanding me to do right away because, well, I have a problem with authority, but also just because I didn't act on it right away. And as I was trying to figure out what was going on with their suggestion and just the state I was in, I saw this light emerge from this gentleman. Well, not really a gentleman, malicious person, actually. And it made an arc, and I could see it. And it made an arc, and it slammed into my forehead. I could feel it like as if somebody had punched me, and the force snapped my head back. And before I could do anything else, I heard this person's voice really strongly commanding me to give up my secrets. And it was like my mind, you know, there's an old fashioned thing called a Rolodex. Yeah. You could flip through, people had on their desks with contact. And it felt like it was going through my memories, looking for secrets that I had. Secret that I really had, it was worth anything that I thought was, I found this cave up in the mountains with a friend of mine where I did some ritual work, and he helped me take a bunch of stuff up there. And it was in a secret location, and I didn't want anybody to know about it. And that image, even though I was trying to prevent it from coming consciously, that's what started to emerge in my mind as this person was forcibly extracting stuff from me. So it was almost like a tentacle. Eventually I was able to cut that off and shield myself and get away from the situation. But while it was happening, it was very violating and just really freaky, you know, just really odd.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is scary. Yeah. Scary that there are people out there like that. But
you detached yourself from it, but then what happened to it? Were you able to see that or?
What happened to the light or the tentacle or whatever?
Did it disappear or did somebody or something come and take it or what happened?
Well,
what
was interesting is it was almost like before that light or tentacle light or whatever appeared, it was like the person was kind of charging themselves up harvesting energy from the people sitting around him. So before the tentacle actually showed up, I saw him connect to three of the people that were sitting next to him. Like he drew on that psychic energy somehow. And so when I shut off, when I was able to, you know, cut the cord from him, it was like everything kind of retracted. Like it just kind of snapped back like a rubber band, what I remember.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I believe, you know, some people, you know, need other people's energy and they just kind of connect and draw on our energy and and use it. They need it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we've all had encounters with people who, you know, for maybe a overly dramatic term, they're like, you know, social vampires, you know, people who, after you spend a few minutes with them, it feels like they've sucked all the cerebral spinal fluid out of your body, and you're just like, oh, my God, why am I so tired? And it's not just because, you know, all they can do is talk about themselves, but there's something else going on there. And sometimes that's, you know, sometimes that's just kind of garden variety narcissistic personality or something like that. Sometimes it's them, and there's more of a malicious thing going on. You know, and there can even be layers of that. And but it's also not uncommon to have, you know, what I would call a hitchhiker, you know, an entity that's attached itself to them, that's using them as a vehicle to represent you from people. You know, so there's a lot of different things that can be going on there in those situations, for sure.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Nicer stories when plants talk to me. You know, I hear plants say, hey, come over here. You know, and they're like, oh, we want to play with you. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's make some medicine. Show me what you got. Well, we're blooming. You know, okay. Very nice flowers. So,
cool.
Those are generally much more pleasant.
Yeah, I don't hear them. I guess I'll say I feel them more. Like you feel a positivity come from them when you pay attention to them or water them. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time I was in kind of an ecstatic state, and a giant Douglas fir tree, and I was like, "Oh, I want to share power with you." And the tree was like, "You're not ready." I'm like, oh, okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
But they know. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Lots of options. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the other sounds that, as I was doing some research for the show, I was looking at the sounds that come from the chakras, you know, that people can sometimes hear. Om is related to that. But yeah, I'll have to send you a link. It was a really fascinating article by a professor of Hindu spirituality that had some really interesting things to say. According to his philosophy, that sound is divided into different levels that correspond to different I guess you'd say spiritual and emotional layers, right? So the more you're able to perceive higher layers of sound, the more that kind of healing can take place just sonically, I guess, which is pretty fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I was thinking of you because, you know, you mention often that you'll just have the sound of Om on constant loop going through your space, and it's charging the space and clearing the space at the same time. Good energy. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
it makes the space feel good too.
Yeah it sounds really powerful. You know, there's sound that we don't hear that other animals hear and things like that, like elephants and dogs. And there's also sound that's used as weaponry, right? There's accounts of, I think it was a society somewhere in maybe Mongolia or somewhere, they had these special drums that they would use. They'd all line up when they were going into a battle, and they played these drums, and they had them tuned in such a way that the sound would reflect off, and it would make whoever got in the way of the sound ill, like it would upset their stomachs and their physicality. And there's actually weaponry that's used for crowd control. It's infrasonic that does the same thing. It's like the next level below microwave, and it is when it's focused, it can actually disrupt your cellular structure. You know, there's a story about those people in different embassies, Cuba in particular, having health issues that they thought, well, maybe due to ones of this type. So it's a lot of different things that, you know, sound can do that we just are tapping into.
Yeah. I think we're heading in that direction, though, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly.
More aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with all the sound baths now taking place, and
those are
you
nice.
Know, the on YouTube, the hertz, the megahertz or whatever, all the different frequencies that they have now.
So yeah, the cool
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is, you know, why it's important to expose yourself to, you know, calming and pleasing sounds like birdsong, ambient sounds like nature, like you were talking about solfeggio at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and avoid those stressful things that are chaotic or.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Well, anything else you want to bring up? That makes sense?
No. No, yeah. That's all. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good show. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you, my friend, if they want to hear more lovely sounds coming from their throat box or for healing? For other exciting things.
You can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com, or you can call or text me at 562-457-0457. How about you, sir? How can people get a hold of you?
They can call me. They can text me. My number is 541-344-7534. My email is givingtree@earthlink.net. The website is givingtreefarm.com, and my Facebook page is Giving Tree Farm Herbs. So do we know what's on the agenda? Yeah, what's on the agenda for next week's show? Is that still
no
on the program?
Programming has not informed me of that yet. So it's going to be a surprise for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Prices are good.
Yeah.
We like, yeah. Hopefully it's a spooky surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, take us out, Michael.
Yeah, we want to thank everybody for listening to us and spending your Friday evening with us. We surely appreciate your listenership and your time. Please be sure to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio and listen to our podcast on Amazon, Apple, Google and Spotify platforms, and you can download us there. And we want to thank the spirits as well. Thank you for being here and showing up and for the messages. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, be sure to join us here every week. We're on from 6 to 7 o'clock. Pacific Standard Time, and you can listen to us on all your favorite blog talk, favorite podcast platforms. We have tons of archive shows. We just crossed our 200th show mark, so you don't have to be alone. You can take us with you wherever you go. I want to thank my lovely co-host, Michael J., and Adrian for showing up, giving us a little dose of her earlier in the show. That was a nice surprise. And hopefully all three of us back in the studio next week to provide you with yet another wonderful podcast about Spooktober and all things supernatural. Till then, please take care.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ha 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 ha